The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. As Jesus continued his journey to Jerusalem, he traveled through Samaria and Galilee. As he was entering a village, 10 lepers met him. They stood at a distance from him and raised their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." And when he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And as they were going, they were cleansed. And one of them, realizing that he had been healed, returned, glorifying God in a loud voice. And he fell at the feet of Jesus, and he thanked him. He was a Samaritan. Jesus said in reply, "Were not 10 made clean? Where are the other 9? Has none but this foreigner returned to give thanks to God?" And then he said to him, "Stand up and go your way. Your faith has saved you." The Gospel of the Lord. Well, it's good to be, let me get my microphone working. It's good to be back again with you after an absence of a few weeks. So thank you very much. We're in the year of Luke. Our Gospels each Sunday come from the book of Luke. So let me just say a few words about Luke so that we are familiar with the evangelist Luke. He's a Gentile. He's the only Gentile in the entire Bible, the only Gentile writer in the entire Bible. He's writing for Gentiles. There are many ways in which we can see that. At the very beginning, he speaks about the genealogy of Jesus, and he traces Jesus' genealogy back to Adam. Whereas Matthew, the Jewish gospel, traces Jesus' genealogy to Abraham. But the Gentile goes back to Adam. He did not know Jesus personally. He says at the beginning of his gospel, "I'm writing this from the testimony of eyewitnesses, and my testimony is accurate." He's a scholar. His Greek is classical, highly educated fellow. Whereas the Greek in the other Gospels is called Koine Greek, which is the Greek of the common people. But Luke is different. Highly educated fellow. In today's world, he would be a postgraduate of some prestigious university like Harvard or USC or someplace like that. You know. Sounds right to say that, you know. He doesn't know the geography of the Holy Land. He's not familiar with the geography of Palestine and the life of Jesus. That's clear in today's gospel. He says Jesus travels toward Jerusalem through Samaria and Galilee. That would be like us saying somebody is coming from Santa Barbara to South Pasadena and goes through Sherman Oaks and Ventura. It's inverted. So clearly, he's not good in the geography of the Holy Land. He doesn't know that. We're not sure where he shaped this gospel, but not in the land of Jesus, wasn't in Palestine. Probably in Antioch of Syria. In St. Paul's letter to the Colossians, he mentions, while he's imprisoned in Rome, that he's consoled by having the presence of his beloved physician, Luke. For this reason, many people thought that Luke was a physician, but recent scholarship would say different. St. Luke was not a physician, and the persuasive reason for saying that was he was too educated to be a physician. Rather interestingly, at the time of Jesus, physicians weren't that educated. He was beyond the level of education for a physician in the time of Jesus. Well, that's enough about Luke, but we should know something about him since we're reading from these Gospels shaped by Luke. The text we have today is about seeing. Jesus sees the lepers even though they are far off. Leprosy in the time of Jesus was an extraordinary separation from the community. The leper was ostracized, he was set aside, he was banished from the community. So not only does Jesus see their sickness, he sees their isolation, he sees their loneliness, he sees their separation, and he says, go show yourselves to the priests and be reconciled with the community. This practice of separating lepers was carried into the Catholic Church right through the Middle Ages. In the Middle Ages, we had a ritual in our church, a ritual for prayers for the dead over lepers. They were not allowed into the church, the prayers were outside, and they were banished from society. So Jesus sees their illness, but he also sees their isolation. He sees their pain. And when the one Samaritan leper looks at himself and sees that he is healed, and it's a gift, it's not an entitlement as the other nine. He sees it's a gift. He sees. So he goes back to Jesus to thank him. The Greek word aidon is used there about seeing. It doesn't mean just to observe or to notice. This comes up a number of places in Luke's Gospel. In chapter 10, you will remember the Good Samaritan, the man who was half dead on the side of the highway. And the priest, good man, comes by. He notices him, doesn't see him. He notices him and he passes by. And then a Levite comes, also a good man. And he observes him, but he doesn't do anything. He passes by. And then a Samaritan comes, and he sees him, and he responds. He sees the pain, the isolation, the suffering of this man. You'll find that in chapter 15, also in Luke. You remember the prodigal son who squandered his father's money. And then he returns, broken and impoverished. And Luke says his father sees him when he is far off, and he runs out to meet him because he sees goodness. He sees his son. He doesn't see somebody who squandered the money. He sees his son. He sees goodness. We preached a little while ago about Rembrandt's famous painting of the prodigal son. And Rembrandt has the father blind in his painting. So Rembrandt, how did he know, how could he see his son when he was far off if he was blind? Rembrandt said he saw him with his heart. You can see things with your heart, you can't see with your eyes. So this question that comes out of today's gospel has to do with seeing. Seeing with the heart, seeing with faith, seeing with openness, sensitivity. Henry Nouwen tells this story about a sculptor and a little boy who comes by and he sees the sculptor with a large block of marble and he's chiseling away at the marble. The little boy is fascinated. He watches him for a while, and then he leaves. Sometime later, weeks later, the little boy is going this way, and the sculptor is finishing a lion from that block of marble. And the little boy says, "Sir, how did you know that there was a lion inside that marble?" And the sculptor said, "It was the lion in me that saw the lion in the marble." That's seeing. So let me give you a personal testimony in my life about seeing. In my 61 years as a priest, I can see two different passages in my life. And the first passage in my life, I received a lot of praise, adulation. I received responsibility beyond my maturity and beyond my ability. I was applauded, I was praised, I was uplifted. And all this adulation, I began to believe this really was me. I was really this wonderful person, you know, that everybody applauded, and I got promotion and I got affirmation. Then somewhere, I began to discover that I'm a broken human being, that I carry sin and failure and struggle and uncertainty in my life, that I'm fully human. And I discovered this was the real person. And sheltered in my humanity was my goodness. But all my humanity, my failures, my sins, my struggles, there's this essential goodness that I saw sheltered in my humanity. So the question from this gospel is there something you're missing in your life? When I discovered my humanity, I saw things in a new way. I saw humanity, I saw failure in people, but it was the lion in me. It was my own weakness, my own sinfulness, my own struggle that saw the lion, the goodness in the other person. Only when you discover your own weakness, your struggles, will you refrain from making hard judgments about anyone or excluding anyone from your family or from your community or from your church. So the question the gospel leaves with us, each of us, is, what are you missing? Do you need to take a second look? Is there a leper out there somewhere that you're missing? Is there a lonely person? Somebody who feels misunderstood? Somebody separated in your family? A person judged and somehow set aside? It's a person, it's easy to forget this person. It's easy to dismiss this person. So listen to the word of God today and wonder with me if we shouldn't take a second look. Amen.